You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi as explained by Mufti Hussein Kamani. This seminal and foundational collection of hadith has been described by many Islamic scholars as a prerequisite to serious Islamic learning. To further your study of hadith and many other Islamic subjects, please check out the exclusive courses available at qalamnow.com.
Then after that, he testifies in the oneness of Allah, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ الْكَرِيمُ الْغَفَّارُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَحَبِيبُهُ وَخَلِيلُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَالْمُكَرَّمُ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعَزِيزِ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعَزِيزِ الْمُعْجِزَةِ الْمُسْتَمِرَّةِ عَلَى تَعَاقُبِ السِّنِينِ وَبِالسُّنَنِ الْمُسْتَنِيرَةِ لِلْمُسْتَرْشِدِينَ الْمَخْصُوصُ بِجَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ وسماحة الدين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى سائر النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وسائر الصالحين. So in this part now he's testifying in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he sends his salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for being the one who is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who was honored by the miracle, the continuous miracle of the Qur'an, the honorable Qur'an, which was sent after a long drought. There was no revelation for such a long time. And then the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a beautiful sunnah. And he was makhsus bi jawami al-kalim. This is a very beautiful praise he uses to praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? Al-makhsus bi jawami al-kalim. Al-makhsus means he was unique, he was special with this. Bi jawami al-kalim, with concise statements. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make a small statement, and 1400 years later, scholars are still commentating upon that one statement. Still going to the depth of it. You know, when I'm teaching hadith this year, Mishkat al-Masabih, to the students at the Qalam Seminary, those who are in the advanced years. And when I sit and teach them, sometimes we open up one hadith. There was one time we discussed one hadith for almost 1 hour. And one of the students in the class said to me, I never imagined there could be such commentary on a hadith for 1 hour. By the way, it wasn't 1 hour of stories and idhar udhar ki bekar baatein. It was 1 hour of proper commentary. Like, you know, aqwal and opinions and how the hadith and what we derive from the hadith and the context of the hadith and the meaning of the hadith and how to implement that hadith. And as we were going through it, the students were amazed. And I said to them, this is the Jawami al-Kalim of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these precise and concise statements. And we'll learn this through the class. While we're reading these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll exercise many of these. He then says, Amma ba'd. Amma ba'd is a transitional statement. This is the statement you put inside your muqaddama or in your letter, in your introduction or in your letter, when you're done with the praise and ready to talk about and introduce the science in the book. So now he's ready to introduce the book. He said, فَقَدْ رَوَيْنَا أَنْ عَلِيِّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ وَالْمُعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلٍ وَأَبِي الدَّرْدَاءِ وَابْنِ عُمَرَ وَابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ وَأَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ وَأَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ وَأَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِيِّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ طُرُقٍ كَثِيرَةٍ بِرِوَايَاتٍ مُتَنَوِّعَاتٍ. He says that he narrates a bunch of Sahaba and said that through all of these Sahaba we receive one narration. And the narration comes to us through many pathways, meaning there are many chains that narrate this hadith. And what is this genre of hadith? أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من حفظ على أمتي 40 حديثا من أمر دينها بعثه الله تعالى يوم القيامة في زمرة الفقهاء والعلماء وفي رواية بعثه الله فقيها وعالما وفي رواية أبي الدرداء وكنت له يوم القيامة شافعا وشهيدا وفي رواية ابن مسعود قيل له ادخل من أي أبواب الجنة شئت وفي رواية ابن عمر كتب في زمرة العلماء وحشر في زمرة الشهداء. So he narrates all these ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Whoever memorizes 40 hadith, that's one interpretation or one translation of this hadith. Or the more accurate translation of this hadith is, whoever preserves or safeguards 40 hadith for my ummah that relate to the matter of this religion. Meaning anyone that preserves 40 hadith for the ummah so people can come and learn them. What does that mean? Maybe preserves them as a book, writes them as a document. That's why I always tell my students that I encourage every Muslim to compile a 40 hadith collection. Every Muslim should compile a 40 hadith collection. You don't need to publish it. It doesn't need to go online. It doesn't need to be in an online bookstore. Just collect it for your own benefit. That these are my favorite 40 ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. As a Muslim, when I studied the Prophet's ahadith, when I read them, these are 40 ahadith that meant something to me. And you can choose a common theme, as Imam Nawawi will talk about up ahead. I would love to see someone collect 40 ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that relate to the youth. We have 40 ahadith regarding the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, and 40 ahadith on nikah, and 40 ahadith on this, and 40 ahadith on that. I once came across a 40 hadith collection. It's called the 40 ahadith of Muhammad, which means there are 40 ahadith, and all the narrators and all 40 of these ahadith, guess what their names are? Muhammad. And Muhammad, Ibn Muhammad, Qala Muhammad, Al-Muhammad, Sami'a min Muhammad, Hadathani Muhammad. That's kind of like what the channel narration sounds like. Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. And then there's another famous 40 hadith collection in which the author of the 40 hadith collection, what he did was, he collected 40 ahadith. Are you guys ready? From 40 hadith. He collected 40 compilations of 40 hadith. I have that book at home, by the way. So there are 40 hadith collections, and this author collected 40 collections of 40 hadith collections. So this times 40 by 40, and that's how many ahadith are in that book. Okay. There's another one that I was referring to, in which the author, what he did was, this is prior to having access to easy transportation, he traveled to 40 different major cities and narrated one hadith from each of the major scholars there. So there are 40 hadith from 40 major cities. So the people had a different taste, a different spin on what they were looking for. They created a thesis, a hypothesis, what they wanted to accomplish, and then they collected 40 hadith. Now, the one who does this, what's their reward? One hadith says that they will be resurrected in the group of the scholars and jurists. One hadith says that that person will be resurrected as a scholar and a jurist. One hadith says that that person, I will intercede on behalf of that person and I will testify on behalf of that person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to that person, enter into whichever door of Jannah you want to enter through. Subhanallah. And one hadith says that his name will be written in the group of scholars and he will be resurrected with the group of the martyrs. Now after narrating all these ahadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, what does he say? He says, وَاتَّفَقَ الْحُفَّاظُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ ضَعِيفٌ وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ طُرُقُهُ. He said, after I shared all these narrations regarding 40 ahadith and their virtue, all the scholars who are masters in hadith, the huffaz, the masters of hadith are in consensus that the ahadith relating to preserving 40 hadith are all weak. Even though they come through many chains, what is Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi himself saying? They are all weak. But just because they're weak, does that mean Imam Nawawi is not going to write this book? Does that mean Imam Nawawi isn't going to write this book? A weak hadith still has a place in the religion, and he's going to address that very soon. So how he addresses it is very interesting. He starts off by saying, there were other scholars before me who practiced these ahadith too. So he's kind of taking the blame off himself. He said there were other scholars who did it as well. And he starts off by saying, وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ مَا لَا يُحْصَى مِنَ الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ. So many books have been written in this genre of 40 hadith collections that you can't even count them. فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ عَلِمْتُهُ صَنَّفَ فِيهِ. The first scholar who I know, Imam Nawawi is saying, who wrote a 40 hadith collection was Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Thumma Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi. Thumma al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasawi. Wa Abu Bakr al-Ajurri. Wa Abu Bakr Muhammad bin Ibrahim al-Asfahani. Wa Dar Qutni. Wa al-Hakim. Wa Abu Nu'aym. Wa Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. Wa Abu Sa'id al-Malini. Wa Abu Uthman al-Sabuni. Wa Abdullah bin Muhammad al-Ansari. Wa Abu Bakr al-Bayhaqi. And he says, there are so many of them. He lists a bunch of them and says, and you know, there are so many of them who've written in this field. And for those of you who know these names, you know that each of the people he named are giants. They are considered as a point of reference in their fields of expertise. Then after that he says, وَقَدْ إِسْتَخَرْتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي جَمْعِ أَرْبَعِينَ حَدِيثًا. Then I made istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on collecting 40 ahadith. اِقْتِدَاءً بِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْأَعْلَامِ. So I can follow those great scholars and their practice, وحفاظ الإسلام and the protectors of Islam. وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَىٰ جَوَازِ الْعَمَلِ بِالْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ فِي الْفَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ. He says the scholars agree that it is permissible to practice upon weak narrations when it comes to matters of virtue. Now, just because it's weak doesn't mean it's discarded. And just because it's weak doesn't mean it's practiced. Even when it comes to the matters of virtues, there are certain conditions that must be met. The scholars, they say there are three conditions that must exist in a weak narration in order for it to be practiced. What is the first thing? The weak hadith is related to virtues, and it has reminder in it. It reminds us, it encourages us to do good deeds. It does not relate to legal rulings, ahkam, and neither does it relate to aqidah, creed, belief. Because you cannot establish your creed through a weak narration. Everyone understand that? And neither can you establish a fiqhi ruling through a weak narration. The second thing, the weakness cannot be extremely weak. It can be weak because even weak narrations are of different degrees. Which is such a beautiful thing in our Islam that we have this detailed concept of what is a weak narration, what isn't a weak narration. And the third thing, the hadith must not contradict a proper understanding, an established understanding of Islam or a general principle of Islam. It can't bring anything new and it shouldn't contradict something that's already established. So now Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi, by the way, for those people who have a problem with weak narrations, you're going to have a big problem with a person by the name of Muhammad bin Ismail. I recall once I was in a discussion and during the discussion I quoted a hadith and the person in front of me said, "Who's the Rawi?" I said, "Muhammad bin Ismail." He said that he's a weak narrator. What did he say? He's a weak narrator and the hadith you quoted is weak. I said, well, the hadith I quoted is weak, that's true. But the fact that you're saying Muhammad bin Ismail is a weak narrator, that's not true. Because Imam Muhammad bin Ismail's more common name is Imam Bukhari. Uski hawa udar nikal gayi. He went quiet. He's like, "Oh man, you played me, Shaykh. I didn't know that Imam Bukhari's real name is Muhammad bin Ismail." Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wrote many books, by the way. And not all of his books only consisted of authentic narrations. Imam Bukhari himself says, "I have memorized 200,000 authentic narrations, and I have memorized 100,000, the other way around, 200,000 weak narrations, 100,000 authentic narrations." And in his Sahih al-Bukhari, he has no more than 7,000 ahadith. So if you believe Imam Bukhari's goal was to collect all the Sahih hadith in the world, he himself shows a discrepancy of 93,000 ahadith. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wrote another book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which is a commonly taught book to students of knowledge. People read it all the time. Maybe sometimes in our community, maybe at some point in our community, we can cover Al-Adab al-Mufrad as well. In there, Imam Bukhari brings weak narrations too. So this understanding that weak narrations have no place in the deen is not a traditional understanding. It's not the understanding of the muhaddithin. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi right here is just blowing it out the window. But he says, even though I'm going to compile this 40 hadith, وَمَعَ هَذَا فَلَيْسَ يَعْتِمَادِي عَلَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, I'm not doing it because of the hadith of the 40 hadith. That's not why I'm compiling this 40 hadith. It's not because of the weak narrations above. The reason why I'm compiling 40 hadith, he says, بَلْ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْأَحَادِيثِ الصَّحِيحَةِ لِيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ. It's because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his farewell sermon of Hajjatul Wada', he said, "Those who are present should convey my word to those who are not present." I'm following that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا." May Allah subhanahu wa taala enlighten or brighten the face of the one who heard my statement, and he preserved it and then conveyed it to someone else just as he heard it, meaning didn't cause any change. As Muslims, we are very particular how we narrate the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you're not sure of the exact statement that you're narrating, then always add at the end of it, "aw kama qal." "Aw kama qal" means something similar to this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Then he says, "thumma min al-ulama man jama'a al-arba'in fi usul al-din wa ba'dhum fi al-furu' wa ba'dhum fi al-jihad wa ba'dhum fi al-zuhd wa ba'dhum fi al-adab wa ba'dhum fi al-khutab wa kulluha maqasid salihatun radiyallahu." He said that many scholars came, they compiled 40 ahadith with different intentions. Some scholars compiled 40 hadith on the usul, the principles of the deen, while some compiled 40 ahadith on the furu', the lower issues of the deen, while some scholars compiled a 40 hadith collection just on the topic of jihad, and some scholars compiled a 40 hadith collection just on zuhd, asceticism. Some scholars collected 40 ahadith on the importance of adab, proper manner. Some compiled it, and then he continues on with all these different reasons why they compiled. He says, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ جَمِيعَ أَرْبَعِينَ أَهَمَّ مِنْ هَذَا كُلِّهِ وهي أربعون حديثا مشتملة على جميع ذلك. He said, however, I have a plan. And my plan is not to compile a 40 hadith collection on one subject. It's to compile a 40 hadith collection that covers all the subjects. It's going to be all inclusive. I want to bring everything into it. وكل حديث منها قاعدة عظيمة من قواعد الدين. And every hadith I will compile in this book will be a principle from the principles of the deen. وقد وصفه العلماء بأن وقد وصفه العلماء بأن مدار الإسلام عليه وهو نصف الإسلام أو ثلثه أو نحو ذلك. And he said, I will bring certain ahadith that scholars themselves will say regarding these ahadith, that these ahadith are, some of them are half of iman, some of them are one third of iman, meaning these are big, very important principles that are a part of our religion. Now he starts closing off by saying, ثم ألتزموا في هذه الأربعين أن تكون صحيحة ومعظمها في صحيح البخاري ومسلم. He said, my goal is to bring only authentic narrations in this 40 hadith collection. That's a very unique thing of Imam Nawawi's works, and in this one in particular. He said, most of the ahadith that I will be quoting will be found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He then says, وَأَذْكُرُهَا مَحْذُوفَةَ الْإِسْنَادِ. I will cut out the chain of narrators, because if I bring each chain with each narration, it's just going to become too long and too blown out. So he says, I have removed the chain of narrators. Why? لِيَسْهُلَ حِفْظُهَا وَيَعُمُّ الْإِنْتِفَاعُ بِهَا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So those who wish to memorize these 40 hadith can easily do so. It'll be very easy for you to memorize it. I've shortened the hadith. And he said also, it'll be easy to benefit from it. Then he says, ثُمَّ أَتْبِعُهَا بِبَابٍ فِي ضَبْطِ الْخَفِيِّ الْأَلْفَاظِهَا. He said, if there's ever any words that are a little complicated, I will also help you understand them too. وَيَنْبِغِي لِكُلِّ رَاغِبٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ هَذِهِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Anyone who has an intention or is desirous towards the hereafter should dedicate time to learn these ahadith. لِمَا اشْتَمَرَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْمُهِمَّاتِ. Because they consist of very important subjects. وَاحْتَوَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ التَّنْبِيهِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الطَّاعَاتِ. And it also covers and highlights the good deeds that a person needs to bring in their life. وَذَلِكَ ظَاهِرٌ لِمَنْ تَدَبَّرْ. And what I am saying, the importance of this book will be apparent to whoever reads this book. Then he says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ اِعْتِمَادِي. I trust Allah, وَإِلَيْهِ تَفْوِيدِي وَإِسْتِنَادِي. And I rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَالنِّعْمَ. And all praises for Allah, and all favors are for Allah. وَبِهِ التَّوْفِيقُ وَالْعِسْمَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects. Now, we've covered the introduction of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi. Two quick things that are left before we close the class. One thing, we're going to be studying 40 hadith, so it only makes sense if we define what the word hadith means. So what does the word hadith mean? Literally, lughatan, from a dictionary standpoint, the word hadith means something new. Ziddul qadim. It's the opposite of something old. And the reason why... Now, hadith is also used to refer to speech. And the reason why speech is called hadith is because every time you say something, it's something new. It has a beginning. You initiated a statement. Before you initiated it, that statement didn't exist. So that's why hadith is there, ziddul qadim, as opposing to something old. Now technically, when we use the term hadith, what does it mean? ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير أو صفة خلقي أو خلقي أو خلقي. What does that mean? That whatever is attributed towards the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whatever is attributed towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his statements, anything he said, it's now considered a hadith. Or his actions, anything he did, is now considered a hadith. أو تقريرٍ, or something happened in his presence and he remained silent to it, that's considered a hadith as well. Because the reason why that's something important is because had it not been permissible, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have immediately prohibited, stop that act, because he was a prophet. He would not allow something haram to happen in his presence. Or a characteristics of his, or a characteristic or a description of his that describes his physical features or his internal character. So someone saying that the Prophet ﷺ was more beautiful than the full moon, that's a hadith too, because it's describing his physical features. Or someone saying the Prophet ﷺ was more modest than the newlywed while she is sitting inside her hawdaj, sitting inside her little camp, her little carriage. They're describing his characteristics. So now that we understand a hadith, It is also important to know, a hadith are of different grades. There are authentic narrations, there are hasan, good narration, there are weak narrations, and then there are some narrations that are absolutely fabricated. If we're interested, if you are interested in learning more detail on these terms and the different types and what their definition is, you'll need to study a more advanced and more detailed class. There's a class that I teach actually in this masjid in the summer called the Hadith Intensive, in which we actually cover all of this and much more in a lot of detail. So we invite you to that class. Otherwise, there are many books on this, and there are many courses online that are easily available. The last thing I want to cover before I close today, it is a tradition that when we study hadith, since next week we're going to start the first hadith, it is a tradition that before you study a collection of hadith, you cover the hadith known as Al-Musalsal Bil-Awwaliyah. This is the first hadith every student hears from their teacher. When I sat in front of my teachers, the first hadith they taught us was Musalsal Bil-Awwaliyah. Musalsal means something with continuity. Al-Awwaliyah means the first hadith. There are many ahadith like this. For example, Musalsal Bil-Musafaha. Every time the students study this hadith from their teacher, what do? They shake the teacher's hand. Musalsal Bil-Tabassum. Every time you study this hadith from your teacher, you smile. Because the Sahabi, when he heard this hadith from the Prophet, he smiled. And then when he taught it to his student, he told his student, you must smile too. And his student made his student smile. So similarly, مُسَلْسَلْ بِالْمَاءِ وَالْتَّمَرِ, that the hadith, that when you teach this hadith, the teacher gives the student two dates and some water. Some zamzam water. These are all different types of hadith. So there's one called مُسَلْسَلْ بِالْأَوَّلِيَّ. The hadith in which it's the first hadith every student hears from their teacher. So I will share this hadith with you, inshallah, and Aziz, while also sharing my entire chain of narration in this hadith. I heard the hadith of مُسَلْسَلْ بِالْأَوَّلِيَّ from my dear teacher, Sheikh Yusuf bin Sulaiman, who taught me this hadith in England while I was studying in the Darul Uloom in the outskirts of Manchester in a small little village called Ramsbottom. And he studied it from his teacher, Sheikh Muhammad Zakaria Kandalvi, who studied it from his teacher, Sheikh Yahya. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Rashid Ahmed Gangohi. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi Dehlawi. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Shah Ishaq Dehlawi. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Shah Abdul Aziz Dehlawi. And then from there, I'm just going to read the rest of the hadith and the rest of the chain in Arabic, inshallah. And he heard from his teacher, Shah Waliullah, who says, حَدَّثَنِي سَيِّدْ عُمَرْ مِنْ لَفْظِهِ تُجَاهِ قَبْرِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says that, I heard the hadith from my teacher, Sayyid Umar, while I was standing in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ حَدِيثٍ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ. And this was the first hadith I heard from my teacher. قال حدثني جدي الشيخ عبد الله بن سالم البصري قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال حدثنا الشيخ يحيى بن محمد الشهير بالشاوي قال وهو أول حديث سمعناه منه قال أخبرنا به الشيخ سعيد بن إبراهيم الجزائري المفتي الشهير قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا به الشيخ المحقق سعيد بن محمد المقري قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه عن ولي الكامل أحمد الحجي الوهراني قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه عن الشيخ الإسلام عارف بالله سيد إبراهيم التازي قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال قرأته على المحدث الرباني أبي الفتح محمد بن أبي بكر بن حسين المراغي قال وهو أول حديث قرأته عليه قال سمعت من لفظ شيخنا زين الدين عبد الرحيم بن حسين العراقي قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال حدثنا أبو الفتح محمد بن محمد بن إبراهيم البكري الميدومي قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا النجيب أبو الفرج عبد اللطيف بن عبد النعيم عبد المنعم الحراني قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا الحافظ أبو الفرج عبد الرحمن ابن الجوزي قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا أبو سعيد إسماعيل بن أبي صالح النيشابوري قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا والدي أبو صالح أحمد بن عبد الملك المؤذن قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا أبو طاهر محمد بن محمد محمش الزبادي قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا أبو حامد أحمد بن محمد بن يحيى البزاز قال وهو أول حديث سمعناه منه قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن بشر بن حكم قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه قال أخبرنا سفيان بن عيينة قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه أن عمرو بن دينار عن أبي قابوس مولى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Now this is the hadith. الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Those الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. Those who are merciful, the merciful will show mercy to them. Those who are merciful amongst you, the merciful will show mercy to you. ارحموا من في الأرض. Have mercy on those that are in the earth. يرحمكم من في السماء. The one in the heavens will have mercy upon you. This hadith is مسلسل بالأولية. And inshallah al-Aziz, next Wednesday we will start with the first hadith that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi gathers and his collection of 40. There's one last little nukta that I forgot to mention that I'll mention to you right now. This 40 hadith collection of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi wasn't originally his. There was a scholar of hadith by the name of Ibn Salah. Ibn Salah started writing a 40 hadith collection but was unable to complete it. He compiled 24 ahadith and he was unable to complete it. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi started from where he left off and added another 28 ahadith, which made it how many in total? 42 ahadith. So that's the background to this collection as well. Khair, we'll stop here. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have 20 minutes left for the adhan. If anyone has any questions, we'll take them now, inshallah, and aziz. Otherwise, we can break up. Yes?
So, I hope I okay to ask this question.
Of course, please. Any question you have, I'll try my best to answer it. I can't guarantee an answer. I'll try to answer.
No, I know you can answer. I don't know if you can ask this question. I'm asking for you before I ask the question. You said that 40 hadith collections from Canada. Is that 40 collection, 40 hadith of vegan? But they are very useful or helpful.
Just because a scholar collected 40 ahadith, so the question is that there are 40 hadith collections, are those ahadith in their week? Not necessarily.
No, I'm asking, is there a collection? Because different people use different criteria to come up with the 40 ahadith.
Yes. Different scholars use different criteria to collect 40 ahadith. So people had different criteria. Some scholars, the ahadith they collected had weak narrations. Some scholars like Imam Nawawi only collected authentic narrations. So each scholar is different in their approach.
So is there any criteria for Imam
Nawawi? Imam Nawawi, yes, he says very clearly, I have only collected authentic narrations. Most of the narrations, he said in his introduction, most of the narrations I have collected can be found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So Imam Nawawi's collections are authentic. That's one thing beautiful. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, even in his Riyadh al-Salihin, the ahadith he brings there are very authentic, which makes it easier upon the reader when they're reading. They don't have to worry about the authenticity of what they're reading. Any other questions? From the sister side? Anything else here? No? Yes, one more question. Go ahead. All the ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari are strong, and there is no doubt in that. There is one famous muhaddith who raised objection to this, but he was refuted thoroughly that the ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari are absolutely authentic. The same rule does not apply to Sahih Sitta. Sahih Muslim is authentic, Sahih Bukhari is authentic. The other Sahih Sitta have weak narrations in them. They do have weak narrations in them. Now the question is, then why are they called Sihah Sitta? Why are they called the six authentic collections of hadith? Anyone ever wonder that? It's a very interesting story. Maybe someday I'll share it with you guys. It's a huge historical coincidence. It just happened. You know, the earlier scholars never heard of the term authentic, six authentic collections of hadith. Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ibn Majah, Imam Nasa'i, Imam Malik. These guys had no idea this term even existed. Even after them, their students had no idea. This is hundreds of years later, coincidentally this happened. There was a famous scholar who was a biographer of the hadith. What he would do is that he would read through the biography of the narrators and he would write on them and do research on them. So one of his projects, what he did was, he compiled the narrators from these six collections of hadith and did a biography work on them. He chose these books. There's one person, he said, you know what, I have to do a biography work. My theory is going to be that my objective, my goal, my research method will be that I will do research on these six books. And after he wrote these six books together, compiled their biographies together, it just became so much more easier to cross-reference the ahadith in those books. So therefore, they started getting bunched together. And that's where, through time, then they started, the people started calling them the Siha Sitta. But what's a fact is that the other four books consist of weak narrations, and Ibn Majah even has fabricated narrations. What did I say? Not too many, but there are a few. There's a handful of them that are even mutaham bil wadh. There are claims that they are fabricated narrations. Wallahu a'lam bi-sawab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Sisters program as well, in which we do a sisters halaqa. I'll be starting a class for the sisters only on Saturday. It's called The Beginning of Guidance by Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. Phenomenal class, great class. I encourage all of you to come, the sisters and all the brothers. Send your sisters, send your wives, send your daughters. Bring them all to the class, inshallah al-aziz. It'll happen this side of the masjid right here. If you're looking for the exact dates, the dates for the sisters class, unfortunately, are kind of like a little khichdi. They're a little mixed up. Sundays are here, Sundays are there. If you want to know which dates the sisters programs are on, you need to visit our Masjid website, and there's a calendar there which has an update of all the programs that are happening and what time they're happening. Okay, so the calendar is updated. You can go there, you'll see it. Another thing you can do is just download the Masjid app. The Masjid app is a great resource. You can use it for your salah time. Use it for knowing when the lectures are, when the programs are, and there are a lot of other features in there too. So that's another good resource for you guys as well. So inshallah, I look forward to seeing you all next week in the weeks ahead. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. For those of you who want to, you can purchase a class of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, so you can follow along, bring a pen and paper, because the class is not going to be an inspirational or motivational lecture. That's not the goal behind this. The goal behind this class, with the inspiration, with the motivation, is to deliver content. This is our education series. That's the goal behind these classes. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.